This is Passover season. This is the time of the resurrection, the greatest event in the world. But you know, it seems unfortunate, although it's not. We don't begin this weekend by celebrating resurrection. We begin by celebrating the saddest day on the Christian calendar. You cannot get to Sunday until you go past Friday. And imagine the disciples. Imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus, who watched her little boy grow up. And then she watched him die. Imagine the disciples who only a short time before toured the countryside with Jesus and said, "When you upset the Romans and win the big battle, can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand?" And he predicted in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 8, Mark 9, again Mark 10, again Mark 14, he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." And they said, yeah, right. "And when you do," Peter said, "we'll be there for you. Got my sword. Nobody will hurt you." They didn't have a clue. And then, while they were sleeping, moments afterwards, here came the soldiers and dragged Jesus away. Folks, we rush so fast to Sunday, and we should. I mean, we should celebrate Sunday. But we forget the pain, the agony, the confusion of Friday and what's called Holy Saturday. A book came out a few years ago about Saturday, and they said this. The author said, "We have no theology of suffering. We have no theology of Saturday." Imagine the disciples. We even hear on Sunday morning the Gospel of John, we're told that they were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Just a short time later, they went fishing. Their life was torn up. They'd given 3 years to follow the Lord and thought, as I said, that they would be placed on the right and left hands of Jesus, but no. He was taken from us. God allowed His Son to die? What kind of theology is this? And what about us? Orphaned in a universe that hates us. You know, oddly enough, I don't need to tell you the story. It's not Peter and the inner three. It's not the 12 men who are the heroes of the story. Except for John, as far as we know, only the women were at the cross, except for a couple more obscure disciples whose names we almost never read in the pages of the New Testament. Only the women were at the burial. Only the women made the initial trip to the tomb, and the women saw Jesus first. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying it was a very, very rough time. Picture what Friday afternoon and Saturday must have been like. What about our faith? Our Lord is dead. What about our future? Is there such a thing as an afterlife? And our Lord was on the cross and buried in a tomb? Folks, today I want you to hear 4 words from me, 4 key words. And these are the words: love, suffering, unique, and truth. Love, suffering, unique, and truth. The cross shows nothing if not the love of Jesus. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." I don't see any of us rushing to do that. The Apostle Paul said, scarcely will someone die for a righteous person. But, Romans 5:8, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that logic. Scarcely will you die for a righteous person. Would you die for a felon? Jesus did. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? When you see the cross, when you see the cross, you think love. Jesus said, Mark 10, verse 45, I came to give my life a ransom for many. Secondly, folks, we've got to drink this point in deeply. The cross is about suffering. The two skits up here were fantastic. Do you know that Christianity is the only religion in the world where the center, the gospel, it's about triumph. That's Sunday. But before triumph comes disaster. Friday. Do you know Christianity is the only religion of the world where at its center is suffering? At its center is suffering. I want to come back to that a little bit later, but let me just mention real quickly. Many of you have seen The Passion. Mel Gibson probably gets the whipping correctly. I knew it was coming when I watched that movie for the first time on opening night. But because I've studied the cross and resurrection for my whole life, it's been the area I've specialized in, I knew the back wasn't going to be enough. I knew they were going after the rest of his body. And I didn't know how he was going to work it into that film. And sure enough, Jesus flips over and they start whipping his chest and his legs. If the Shroud of Turin, it may not be, but if the Shroud of Turin is the burial garment of Jesus, he has about 200 whipping marks on his body. And he's been hit on every area of his body except for his face, his forearms, and his feet. Everything else is torn up. By a whip with a little piece of iron on the end, lead actually, a little dumbbell-shaped pieces of lead sharpened on the edges and designed on contact to gouge out pieces of human flesh. It cut through bone. It cut nerves. It cut everything in its past. And he was struck over 200 of these marks. The cross is about suffering. I want to say more about that in a few moments. Thirdly, unique. Unique. You know, in this day and age where we boil down the religions, and we say, oh, they're all paths up the same mountain. We're used to saying there's a bunch of founders, and you know, we want to be politically correct. We want to say they've all preached within bounds, roughly the same message. They all want us to be good. Here's 5 points for you real quickly. Jesus is the only founder of a major world religion who claimed to be God. Really? Buddha was probably an atheist. Confucius and Lao Tzu of Taoism were ethicists. They didn't even teach theology. You know, from the Old Testament, no Jew claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus is the only founder of a major religion who said he was God. Secondly, he's the only founder of a major world religion who said, what you do with me determines where you spend eternity. Many religious founders said, I am giving you a correct teaching. Only Jesus said, I am the teaching. Many said, we're going to lead you to the path. Only Jesus said, I am the path. Many said, I have the right words. Only Jesus said, what you do with me determines where you spend eternity. And now he was dead and buried. But it doesn't stop there. Do you know that only Jesus did miracles which are recorded within a generation? I was in a debate one time with the best-known philosophical atheist in the world. And one of the respondents to the debate, a skeptical philosopher, said, I can't believe in the miracles of Jesus because if I do, I'll have to believe in Buddha's miracles. Wait a minute. Buddha's miracles are recorded in documents 500 years after he lived. You think that's good history? The novel or the story of George Washington 500 years later, we're only to the halfway point. Do you think the most important novel will wait 250 years? Who knows them? But even today, we have ways of getting back. They didn't. Only Jesus' miracles are reported within a generation. Fourthly, Jesus is the only founder of a major religion who said, I'm going to suffer and die, and if I don't, you may not be redeemed. Only Jesus. And fifthly, only Jesus is believed by his Orthodox followers to be raised from the dead. I'm not saying this by faith. I'm not saying this by faith only. And folks, I did a radio interview here in the Detroit area yesterday, and they kept hammering on this meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 for skeptics. If you're a skeptic, please come on out. Please, let's talk. Because I was where you were for 10 years. I debated Christians. I told them they were nuts. One time in Detroit, I was told that I was demon-possessed because I was arguing and saying the Bible was not inspired. I thought you could believe the resurrection by faith, but that's it. There's no evidence. My mother, who still was in Detroit at that time, called me and said, how are you coming with your doubts? My sister's down here. She probably may not even know this story. My mom called and said, how are you coming with your doubts? And I said, I'm a few months away from becoming a Buddhist. My mother was not impressed. I'm just saying, I walked that path. And what rescued me from my questions was the resurrection of Jesus. More about that this weekend or tomorrow night. Please come out and let's talk together. I was at Willow Creek speaking one time, and the pastor at that time who was speaking before me, Lee Strobel, many of you know the name. Lee said something incredible, and maybe that pertains to this church tomorrow night. He said, are you doubters? He said, I was an atheist for 10 years. Are you doubters? Come here to Willow Creek and doubt with us. I'm sitting in the crowd, I'm thinking, what? Tomorrow's your night. Come and ask your best questions. But number four, word number four, Christianity is true. Jesus is the only founder of a major world religion who was raised from the dead. And there's evidence. In fact, I'm going to argue tomorrow night and Sunday morning that you can show the resurrection of Jesus happened by using the critics' historical facts. So if the Bible's inspired, Jesus is raised from the dead. If the Bible's not inspired, but just a good history book, Jesus is raised from the dead. And if it's only a book of ancient literature, Jesus was raised from the dead. That's what we're going to argue. You can show the resurrection happened from secular history. But folks, you realize something? It's all in this weekend. You know what the gospel is in the New Testament? Here's the gospel, where it's defined in the New Testament. Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross, was raised from the dead. That's the gospel. If it's true, we have everything in Christianity. But let's not rush too quickly. Because before Sunday, it's Friday. I want to ask you a question today. Are you hurting like the two folks in the skits? Are you hurting? Are you saying God doesn't understand what I'm going through? Are you saying if God loved me, He wouldn't let this happen to me? Because before we even address suffering from the side of the resurrection, let's address it from the side of the cross. I've got a question for you. I think it's an earth-shaking question. There's two parts to it. The first part is, has anybody suffered in history like Jesus suffered? Medical doctors tell us that the death by crucifixion may be the worst death you can undergo. Mel Gibson did a good job on the scourging, did not do as good a job on the cross, because death by crucifixion is essentially death by asphyxiation. It's 6 hours of asphyxiation. Whipped. I had a guy write me an email just a couple days ago. He said, what's worse, the beating or the asphyxiation? I said, it's a toss-up. I don't know how to choose. That's my first question. Did Jesus suffer? Here's my second question if you're hurting today. What did God do with His Son? He took Him off the cross, right? Alive, right? He softened up and said, I can't take this anymore, and let His Son down, right? He watched Him suffer and die the most heinous death somebody could ever suffer. Here's my second question for you. Do we expect to have it easier than Jesus had it? Don't tell me if God loved me, He would spare you from your suffering. Because God's got you beat. He watched His Son die. A worse death than any of us will ever experience. He did not take Him down. Jesus suffered and died. Do we expect any better? Hebrews chapter 5, an amazing verse. Jesus learned obedience by His suffering. Whoa. Could we have something to learn by our suffering? Did God take Him down? Do you expect anything better than Jesus got? Folks, experience Good Friday and experience Holy Saturday before you get to Resurrection Sunday. Think about suffering. Think about what you're going through. Maybe allow yourself just to peek over just a little bit, because the ultimate answer to suffering, what if I told you, God answered His prayer. God answered His prayer. No way. Yeah, God answered His prayer. My God, why have You forsaken me? Jesus didn't understand it. Oh, how easily we slip over those words. He learned obedience by His suffering, but God answered His prayer on Sunday. On Sunday. Unfortunately, the suffering came first, and it lasted oh so long. But the victory was on its way. Folks, experience what Jesus went through for us before we exalt on Sunday morning. And remember the words of our Lord. It's coming on Sunday. Because I live, ye shall live also.